harassment works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're continuing here as we explore the strange, the unknown, the flapping, and the flipping. How about that? With Micah Hanks on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Chris, why don't you pick up on the questioning?
Well, what other types of investigative work have you done out in the field? I know that you and Joshua have been involved in quite a number of investigations. What are the most memorable ones that you've been personally involved with?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that perhaps what we're best known for, together at least, is our research into the Brown Mountain Lights, which is an Earth-like phenomenon seen here in the western North Carolina area. Granted, you know, Joshua and I, you know, see, I was a member of his Lemur Paranormal Investigation team for a number of years. And, you know, I'm no longer a member because, you know, I think that we all go in different directions at some point. You know, Joshua, he has a laboratory and he's doing scientific work right now, which I heartily support. And of course, you know, you can, I think that there's information about the Lemur lab available online. If you just want to Google that, you can learn more about what Joshua and the Lemur team are doing. You know, I think that, you know, what I'm able and what I feel I'm able to lend to this, this field of study right now is trying to tie together. You know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, out there in the field doing this sort of stuff, which we'll get to answer your question here in a moment. Right now, I'm trying to look at cultural and even, you know, psychological perspectives of this right now. And maybe we'll touch on this a little bit later. I mentioned this, what I call the Fortean folk devil premise, which is something I've been kind of developing. And I think that that's kind of where my research is going. So, again, you know, Joshua and I, we've worked together off and on for a number of years. And while he and the team are still working with the laboratory and some of their individual investigations and things, you know, I'm kind of backing off. I'm looking at the big picture right now and trying to tie together elements here and see where this goes. That said, during our years working together, Joshua and I probably are best known for working together on what was the Brown Mountain research. Of course, this was an accumulation of more than a decade, you know, of combined research between he and I and several other individuals. And then there were other organizations and teams like the Orion team based out of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and this was, as the name might entail, this did involve a number of researchers who were scientists there at the Oak Ridge facility. Who would visit Brown Mountain and try and study the phenomenon and try and understand exactly what was going on. So without further ado, I'll tell you just a bit about Brown Mountain for you or the listeners who may not be up to speed on this. There have been reports of self-contained, maybe roughly basketball to beach ball-sized illuminations, but they're typically described as spheres of light that appear within the vicinity of the Linville Gorge, which is probably right outside of a little town called Linville Falls, but between Linville Falls, Morganton, and then Boone north of there. I've spent a lot of time throughout that region. I have seen on a couple of instances some unexplainable illuminations. A large red orb of light one evening erupted from out of the valley above the Linville River. And my brother, a fellow by the name of Dr. Chris Blake, and an associate, actually two other associates and I, were on top of Table Rock, which is adjacent to Wiseman's View. Wiseman's View is probably the very best, in my opinion, the very best spot where you can actually view this phenomenon, the Brown Mountain Lights.
And I was there a number of years ago.
Really? Oh, yeah. And so you can attest to it. Not only just, I mean, there being a fascinating location for viewing the phenomenon there, but it's also described as one of the most beautiful, you know, views on the eastern, east of the Mississippi. So
I hated the drive up there, though.
The drive can be a little scary. If it's been raining, if it's foggy, or if there's any ice on the ground, you don't want to have to drive up there to get to the lights. Unfortunately, I have friends just outside of the vicinity of Wiseman's View who own a hotel. And I don't think she'd mind giving her name out right now because we've gone on television programs before and talked about this. But Cindy Peters, a good friend of mine who has the Parkview Lodge, and I'm sure that if people want to contact Cindy, if they're interested in going up to the area and looking around, and they don't want to have to drive all the way back to another one of the nearby towns, you can stay with Cindy, and she'd love to have you. That said, I've spent a number of years up there observing. I've spent time with, some of the researchers like Dan Caton, who is actually he's an astronomer at ASU University over in Boone. Dan's very cynical and skeptical, and he'd tell you that. But I've spent time talking with Dan about this. I've spent time, with Joshua, and of course, to the best of our ability to discern what's going on up there, the accumulation of evidence and poring over data, poring over similar phenomenon that occurs around the world, like Hestel in Norway, and also there are reports of lights seen near Marfa, Texas. The best that we can discern is that there's some sort of a plasma phenomenon that's occurring, some sort of a self-contained ball lightning-like manifestation, and that these are, in the truest sense, the term, atmospheric phenomenon. But what is unique about them, and what is captured not only our fascination and our imaginations for more than a decade, as well as many others, is that these things do tend to appear. I have friends, as a matter of fact, a very well-known photographer from Pennsylvania named Bob Ashmore, who contributed photos that he'd taken of these lights for an article I wrote for the Journal of Anomalous Sciences a couple of years ago. That issue actually featured Joshua and I on the cover talking about our research into the Brown Mountain lights. And so these things, they're not something that people, it's kind of folklore. People talk about it and people, claim that they've seen them. I mean, there are photographs. There are, probably hundreds, if not thousands, of witnesses that have actually observed these lights over the years. The mystery is we don't know exactly how self-contained spheres of light could appear and could hover in the air, and what sort of energy source could cause these things to remain, glowing and bright and floating around in the sky. I mean, it's the damnedest thing. So that's what we're trying to understand, and that's, I think, something that, it may be decades before we do understand the energy and the impetus behind what causes these manifestations.
So natural phenomena, and I think there was a guy that we met years ago, Alan Greenfield, and I went out to Brown Mountain Lights to see what was going on at Weissman's View. We didn't see anything unconventional. But there was a fellow in the town there, Ralph Lale, I believe, who was selling a book saying, of course, that the Brown Mountain Lights came here because of E.T., and he was a contactee.
Did you meet Ralph, by the way?
Yes, we did.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. I only know a handful of people who knew him. Now, he has a granddaughter, I believe, named Virginia, who I spoke to once via email. And she had described going up to the Outer Space Rock Shop up there on Highway 181.
Right.
That probably is where you met Ralph. Am I correct?
That is correct, yes. This is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It was myself, my first wife, Geneva, and Alan Greenfield.
And then, no doubt, the alien mummy. Did you see the alien mummy?
We saw the alien mummy. We may have photographs somewhere. If I don't, I know Alan probably does. Maybe
that's
next time he's on the show.
Tim Beckley also has photographs that he had shared with me. And then another gentleman from the area said that he had some. To my, and I'm sure if you saw it, you may feel the same. There was actually he was a kind of a frontier sideshow caterer of sorts. This fellow, I can't remember his name, but I wrote about it for UFO Magazine last year sometime. There was an individual who actually would create these little mummies. He would use little parts from, this sounds really kind of gruesome and macabre, but he would find little parts of
That's
animals.
My middle name, by the way.
Macabre? Well, this
and
works
gruesome.
And gruesome. Gruesome.
I knew them well.
Well, anywho, this fellow, he would gather little parts from animal corpses he would find out in the desert, and he would incorporate them into little mud mummies and things that he would make. What was this character's name? I'll have to dig it up and everything. I've got it all over the Grailian Report someplace. And again,
an interesting hobby.
It certainly was. I should really dig this up. I think there's a website, sideshowworld.com, that has some information about this fellow. He would do a mail order catalog where you could order these little weird mummies, and he had, there's a little Tarzan character. There was a little man from Mars, which is very appropriate considering what we're talking about here with Ralph Lale having an alien mummy. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with the story of this alien mummy, Ralph Lale, of course, was one of the local characters that was seen around the Limbo Gorge area. He kind of capitalized on the Brown Mountain Lights myth and said that they were aliens from outer space, specifically, I think, from the planet PWAM. And he also said that he had a being that was laying in a little coffin that he kept in the back of his shop, which Eugene said that you had visited and actually been able to along with other researchers. To the best of my understanding, this was probably Homer Tate was his name. Homer M. Tate was this guy who would collect, you know, bits of mud and scraps and things like that, little teeth and bones from animals, and he would incorporate these into these little mummies he would make, and he'd ship them off to you using mail order catalogs, and people who had little kind of sideshows and little roadside museums and things like that would buy these things and, you know, feature them as curiosities and attractions in their little shops and their little traveling circuses and things, God knows what. So
this is before we had all the online businesses taking over that kind of thing. We have Micah Hanks, and he's not a sideshow. He has the Graylian Report and lots of other stuff. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
I'm Gene Steinberg on the Paracast with Chris O'Brien, the co-host, Micah Hanks, our guest. And Micah is the kind of person that you say, go, and he continues. You don't need any prodding. So we were talking about that visit to Brown Mountain Lights to see what was going on. I think we almost thought we saw something, but I think it might have been aircraft or something. You know, nothing spectacular. I kind of thought of the scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind where you have all the sky watchers out there looking for UFOs out there in the country, and Richard Dreyfuss is there. This is while he had hair and he wasn't overweight and didn't play Dick Cheney in the movies. And you see something coming over, but you hear a sound and it's just a helicopter or plane or something conventional. So we never had the honor of seeing anything weird. And we have, you know, characters like Ralph Lael around the country. I guess he's the kind of person who, if you don't take him seriously and you kind of enjoy what he has to say, it's entertaining, has the entertainment value.
Gene, I think one thing we need to point out and stress is the Brown Mountain Lights have been reported for how long? What are the earliest references that you've been able to find to the lights? I know it goes back into the late 18th century, if I might be correct on that. But
no, I think you're right. There are maybe earlier reports, and the reason I say maybe is because you got to keep in mind, of course, Native Americans, specifically the Cherokee that were present here in western North Carolina, and for all we know, maybe cultures that, you know, existed, you know, prior to the Cherokee arrival here in the Southeast, there were always oral traditions that described these sorts of phenomena. Now, the only ones that we have available to us are these most recent Native legends that describe, you know, spirits. I think that there was a interpretation of the legend. And again, this is where the folkloric aspect kind of comes into a lot of this, although there are absolutely, without question, strange illuminations that appear at Brown Mountain, which I don't think are UFOs. I don't think that they are spirits of the dead or anything like that. Again, I think that these are, you know, atmospheric phenomena akin to ball lightning. But we have folklore throughout the region, and these early reports, based on that cultural interpretation, describe them as spirits, you know, spirits of the dead that had actually remained in that area after a great battle that took place in the Limbel Gorge. That was one of the early Native interpretations, as I understand it. And then there were reports that came later of, I think there was a German scientist who was said to have come through the area, maybe even during the late 1700s, and certainly by the early 1800s, and they were cataloging and describing, you know, reports of illuminations that were seen there around the area. So indeed, yeah, this is something that we have knowledge of and have had knowledge of, you know, for as long as settlers have actually existed throughout the region. And there are cultural oral traditions that describe these things that exist for even longer than that.
I seem to recall, I think it was about a year and a half ago, that somebody posted on the internet some footage that allegedly showed manifestations of this particular phenomenon. I showed it to a couple of people, and one of the people said, oh, well, that's obviously somebody pointing a laser. You know, there was some sort of laser refraction going on. Are you familiar with that footage? I think it was taken about a year and a half ago.
You know, surprisingly, I am not familiar with that, and I would love to see it because, you know, obviously.
I'll have to dig it up. I'm not sure if Joshua was there or not. I think he may have been present at the time. So if that was the case, then that would be pretty strong evidence to me that this was not some sort of premeditated hoax of any kind, because you know, I've met Joshua and I'm familiar somewhat with his work and very familiar with his reputation. I mean, he is a straight shooter as well as you are, and
yeah,
I don't think that we would be dealing with a hoax scenario. But one of the people that I showed it to is fairly observant and is a pretty good amateur analyst, and that was the first thing that they thought, is that we're dealing with a laser that's somehow being pointed at the lens or refracted into the lens somehow. I personally felt that wasn't the case looking at the footage. I will try to dig that up and shoot it off to you, and I'll make it available online.
Chris, let me ask you, was this used, the footage you're talking about, was it night vision and there's a red
yes.
light? Oh, that actually is something. Now, okay, I do know what you're talking about. Joshua Warren and I were both actually present when that was made.
Oh, you
that,
were there? Okay, cool.
That, so, yeah.
I was impressed by that myself.
I can certainly tell you, yeah, that was in no way a hoax. In fact, let me just tell you real quickly about the background with regard to that. And it's funny because, see, when you talk about an illumination, I thought that, you know, this was a video. I'm imagining something that was filmed with a handy cam or something like that somebody, you know, filmed, and this was posted online. That footage actually appeared on a National Geographic program that Joshua and I were both part of. It was called Paranatural. It was a year ago this past October, and we'd gone down to Wiseman's View with this National Geographic film crew, and we went up there, and of course, you know how it is when you do television. You know, we're all wired up, and we're, you know, carrying more, you know, electromagnetic field detection equipment and Geiger counters and all kinds of stuff than our arms can almost carry. But we trudged up there, and we had a fellow named Dean Worsing, who is a specialist with night vision equipment, and he came down for that shoot to join us. And we spent a lot of time up there that night observing. Now, I saw a few things. I even have some photographs that we took utilizing some of the night vision equipment that evening that I've posted on the Gralian Report, which I personally do not believe are anything but conventional aircraft that we couldn't see with the naked eye because of the cloud cover that evening. However, the dim light that was present, nonetheless, you know, when viewed through the light-enhancing night vision equipment that we were using, allowed us to be able to see these things much more clearly. Now, the object in question that you're talking about is very strange, because what had happened was we did have a conventional handycam camcorder that was hooked up to military-grade night vision goggles that we had obtained and that Dean Worsing owned. As we were filming this, I think it was Hawksbill, which is the large mountain outcropping adjacent to what's called Table Rock, both of which are visible there from the Linville Gorge at Wiseman's View, where we were stationed, this light appears and can move through the air. It's red, and you see this thing moving. It's strange that it's red, because through the night vision, typically, we don't see color. In a subsequent analysis that one of the LEMUR investigators did, we found that if there is a very intense plasma that is present, sometimes, yes, indeed, the presence of a very intense plasma can cause color differentiations to occur, even visible through the night vision. I was very skeptical of that footage myself, and I will tell you that. And frankly, I think that, you know, my dissenting opinion about that caused a little friction there for a while between Joshua and I, because, you know, I mean, hey, we went up there, we filmed something. It's an anomaly. It certainly is an anomaly, because we don't know what it is. But being, you know, very rationally skeptical like I am, I looked at that, and I was very discerning, and I was quick to jump to any conclusions that we had captured an anomaly in the sense that this was one of the Brown Mountain lights or some sort of a plasma. Now, it could be that, and I can certainly tell you that there were no red laser pointers in use that evening. I think that there may have been, I think that the National Geographic folks may have had some sort of a laser device, but that wasn't being used. And the reason that we weren't using at the time that we were filming is because that kind of an item only would have contaminated evidence that we were hoping to try and capture. So I can assure you that that was not in use. But yes, I was present the night that video in question was made. And although, you know, the verdict remains out, I couldn't tell you what it is.
Well, that's the first time I've ever seen a ruby red color in a night vision footage. That fact alone, I thought was striking. But good to know that you were there, and you can sort of give us kind of a blow by blow account of the actual trip that you guys took up there.
More mysteries coming. We have Micah Hanks. The publication he has is called The Gralian Report. He also has a radio show he'll tell us about. Everybody I know from North or South Carolina has a radio show. It's amazing. I go on a computer show called Craig Crossman's Computer America, and he has a home in North Carolina. There you go.
I said, imagine that.
There you go. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, Rockoids.com. That's ROCKOIDS.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free, full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We have Micah Hanks joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast as we wind down the second half of our session with Micah. So what is it that everybody has radio shows if they live in North Carolina?
Something like that. You know, because here's the funny thing. And actually, Chris and I became acquainted when he contacted me through Facebook a few years ago, and his excellent book, Stalking the Tricksters, had just come out. And he said, "Hey, I'll send you a review copy, and maybe you can get me on Joshua's program," because Joshua Warren, living here in Asheville, has a Saturday night radio program he does called Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren. Of course, I was the producer of that radio program for a number of years. There was an instance where, and I would fill in for Josh a lot on that program when he would be out traveling, sometimes more than twice a month when he got really busy in the summer months. And I contacted Chris and just said, "Hey, Chris, come on the program, man. I mean, you know, I would be doing the interview, but if you want to come on, we'll get you on the show." So that's how I became acquainted with Chris, and we've been friends ever since. So although haven't been in touch that much recently, it's good to be reacquainted with you, and we'll certainly stay in touch again after this.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I respect your work a lot, and I was reading your book the other day thinking, I need to touch base and see how he's been. So, but that said, yeah, absolutely. But that said, of course, and see, now look, you're doing a radio program also. See, we all do radio. But, you know, I think what's neat about radio is that...
It's a disease, by the way. You think you get over this disease.
Oh, yes. Well, that's
radio.
Exactly.
You think, you know what, I have the radio disease. I've got to get over this. You know, I got to get out there and get a life. And guess what happens?
You get another program.
You do. Yeah. And that's exactly what's going on. And in my regard, you know, the situation was that I filled in for a number of years for Joshua when I worked in radio here in the region. And I formally left working in radio in this area. But then immediately after that, I linked up with a fellow out in Norman, Oklahoma, who was hosting a program for me called the Micah Hanks Radio Program there for a while. Now, actually, at present, because, again, my schedule is ridiculous, I had to, you know, essentially kind of put a hiatus on that program because, and here's the issue, you know, when you're doing a live radio program, you know, you are bound to a certain time slot on a weekly or a daily basis. At one point, I was offered, you know, to do that program daily. Although I love radio enough to be able to do that, right now, unfortunately, especially in these economically woeful times, I mean, you know, there's so much else that has to occur in order to make ends meet and keep bread on the table. As you guys know, and as you'll be hearing, some of the listeners will be hearing, you know, with some musics, the music that will be sampled during the program, I perform in a couple of bluegrass bands in the western North Carolina region, and I travel throughout South Carolina and down to Georgia and Tennessee, all, you know, the surrounding states, performing on the weekends and things, and so it's become increasingly difficult for me to commit to a single time slot for a radio program, unless, of course, you know, I get offered something that pays the big bucks. That's what we all want. But in the meantime, I think
if they wave a check, you'll say, you know what, I'll take a few years off.
Well, what it is if they wave a check, I can commit to giving one day a week that, you know, I would do that, which I would love to do. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, I mean, you know, I've got a broadcast facility here, you know, that's suitable for you know, streaming audio on the web right now. And I've got this wonderful MXL V900 microphone that I'm talking into right now, which helps, you know, accentuate my natural bassiness.
Of course, we all have a natural bassiness. It gets deeper as we get older. Yes, when it becomes so deep, it gets gruff, like we're speaking like, release the Kraken.
That's my only invitation. It could get worse, though. I mean, it could go the opposite direction. It'd sound like Yoda when you get older. Hmm. But
do that better than one of Chris's predecessors.
Oh, man, you do that scarily well.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side. But Master Yoda, I'm not afraid. Hmm. You will be.
Isn't that terrifying?
In more ways than you know.
Yes, most certainly. But either way, the Micah Hanks program hopefully will be soon revived as a podcast. And the primary reason for that is because, you know, there's such demand for podcasts these days. When I worked in radio, this is something. And, Gene, you know, I'm sure that you hear about this a lot also. You know, hosting two programs, one of them being oriented around technology. You know, in radio for years, we fought against the fact that people had iPods, you know, and then there's also satellite radio and things like that. There are so many alternatives to just turning on the radio and listening. Now, the great thing about radio is, you know, if you're driving in your car, you can pop that on and it's free. But a lot of people, with the accessibility of information and technology and the ability to download audio, a lot more people these days are downloading stuff, burning it on CDs or putting it on their iPods or their iPads, for that matter. Well, their cell phones. Heck, you know, you can put this stuff on your smartphones now. And you can take audio with you that if it was recorded at some given time, you can listen to it at a later date at your leisure. And the number one question, every time I'd get on the air and do a radio show, people would email me constantly saying, yeah, it didn't feel like tuning in, man. I was having a barbecue with the kids. But where's the podcast available for download? Well, when you're doing radio, of course, you know, you can use all the copyright, you know, copyrighted music that you want to if you've got the certification to be able to do that, which we had through DCIX, the station that was carrying the program. If you're doing a podcast, sometimes that stuff can get a little tricky and everything, but nonetheless, you know, if you go about it legally and responsibly, you know, you can provide content that people can download and enjoy. And the demand for that these days is so great that I think that, you know, once I get things back together, it's going to be the Micah Hanks podcast or the Graylian Report podcast, where, you know, people can have something to download and take with them. There is something to be said about that. And
we have an interesting setup here with our show. Mm-hmm. The PowerCast started out being available online from our site, downloadable as a podcast through iTunes, etc., for your iPad, your iPhone, even your Android phone. We don't mention those.
No.
But then we join the GCN network, and we have the double, triple distribution. We are on traditional radio, growing number of stations. We're heard on their site. So if you go to GCNlive.com, you could hear the show then. In fact, when you hear the live player on our site, you're basically going to their site. And then you can check out their other shows. You can also have an iPhone application, an Android application that you can download and hear any of their network shows. So we're available in traditional terrestrial radio, online, and maybe soon satellite. We'll see what happens.
Good luck with that also. I certainly enjoy this program.
Everywhere.
It needs to be everywhere. This is a great show, and I can say that because, you know, I'm not a host. I've been on before in the past, but I enjoy the program. Whether or not I'm a guest, I think it's fantastic, and I certainly wish you guys the very best with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's get back to the strange, the unknown, the mysterious, and all that creature.
I've been just dying to ask you about this wonderful book that came out a little over a year ago that you wrote called Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule. Really right down my alley, as you know. I think it's an excellent work, and I really would like to dive into this subject a little bit, because I think that it exemplifies what I think needs to happen in the field of paranormal investigation and research, and that is we need to get people like yourself who are open-minded and willing to look at folklore, at cultural, the cultural side of this this whole subject, and really look at it with a new, fresh pair of eyes, and maybe a new prescription pair of glasses. And I think your book does an excellent job in that regard. I think it's very timely. I do recommend it. Let's talk about it a little bit. How did you, first of all, give us a little overview of the book and what prompted you to actually write it, and then also comment about being very upfront about your own experimentation in this realm and how that those efforts dovetail into your paranormal investigation work.
Yeah, those are very, very good questions, and thank you for that, Chris. With Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule, the funny thing is that I grew up studying the writing of the likes of Charles Fort. I loved Ivan T. Sanderson. Of course, much later, you know, I learned of, you know, the multitude of you know, fine researchers out there and chroniclers of this kind of data. Lauren Coleman, who has probably been one of the most influential on my own writing and discriminating research. You know, not just saying, okay, this person says this, and so I'm going to take that at face value. I really learned from Lauren Coleman to ask difficult questions. And it's funny because, you know, now I'm friends with so many of these people. Lauren emailed me this morning. We've been good friends for years. Brad Steiger, you know, sends me a lot of his books to read and things like that. And what's funny is that the kinds of books that Lauren or that Brad Steiger would write, you know, typically deal with, you know, cryptozoological creatures or maybe UFOs and, you know, things like that, or ghosts. I enjoy these books immensely, and I'm really bad to dive into three or four of them at one time, partially because I just enjoy reading this sort of thing, and the other, and also because, you know, I make a living writing and studying these sorts of things, but also because I review these books for folks and post these reviews at various different websites and things like that, including
I'll
my
tell you
Grail
what, we'll
report.
Have to get into that in a moment. Those reviews,
sure.
Those reports, so much more to come. Micah Hanks is the guest. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MANY. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket next week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms for mom, sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least a full 7 days for only $19.99, and will include a free glass vase with every order. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple Mother's Day week, and this incredible special expires Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MANY. Go to proflowers.com, secret code MANY. That's proflowers.com, code MANY.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin.
Back in clones have their tools. Flexibility with the rules.
Just one of 11 great songs from the album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-S-N-Victory-E-L-Y-N, Ravelin.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Music from our guest, Micah Hanks. All right, let's continue with all the stuff that you've investigated. And we've covered cryptids, weird creatures, stuff like that. Now, any of the stuff have a UFO, outer space, interdimensional connection, do you think?
Well, yeah, I certainly do. And kind of going back also to what Chris had asked about, he asked about my book. That the book deals with a lot of that. And frankly, I think that when you the key word there is interdimensional, Gene. Because I think that without getting into a really, 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 really in-depth discussion of physics and the like, you know, some of this phenomenon is so strange that it can only be interpreted as one of two things, you know, cultural interpretation of what really would amount to psychological aberrations, or the actual valid and real physical, at least in some sense, presence of something that is an interdimensional presence. You know, I was mentioning, I think, Lauren Coleman and Brad Steiger during the last segment and studying their research. A lot of these reports and these researchers, you know, deal in case studies, which are absolutely relevant and necessary in the field. And so, you know, everyone wants to try and make their own, claim their own stake in this brand of research and, you know, and try and hopefully come up with new, exciting information or at very least, different interpretations of existing information, you know, that tries to better understand the reality of the situation. That's almost impossible because, you know, we as humans really can't even define reality and anymore. You know, in addition to kind of looking at things in a folkloric sense, I also look at things very philosophically. You know, what beyond the scope of the five senses, you know, and what they tell us as individuals, what do we really know? What can we discern? What does logic, you know, through observance tell us about this strange phenomenon? We know that people are either really good liars and they're really bored, or that something, at least in a number of circumstances, you know, reported every year, every day around the world for that matter, you know, something does occur, several somethings. How does it pertain to UFOs, aliens, and interdimensionals? Well, It's funny because, you know, I've studied UFOs, aliens, interdimensionals, cryptozoological monstrosities my entire life. You'd think I'd sit down and write a book about Bigfoot or UFOs. And when I wrote Magic Mysticism and the Molecule, I don't think I was conscious, which is funny because I'd sum up the subject matter in that book is centering around primarily altered states of consciousness and what causes those and what they mean. I don't think I was conscious at the time that I began writing that book where my mind and my interpretation of strange phenomena was actually going. It was almost as though it was the subconscious was leading itself. And now I'm seeing, you know, so many startling perspectives with regard to all this. I think that, you know, as I've mentioned several times, that there is something folkloric about this and that there's something that is based largely on cultural interpretations of phenomenon, you know, as seen over time. And you know, basically the meaning that we attribute to that, whether or not that meaning actually exists in a conventional or at very least a humanistic sense. On the other hand, I think that there are actual physical manifestations that occur. The only way that some of these could be explained, well, maybe not the only way, but I think that certainly, though, a more realistic way that we could explain, for instance, some of the erratic behavior of UFOs and things like that could be in terms of an interdimensional phenomenon. I love the old explanation. Carl Sagan used this a lot, the description of flatland, where we have a two-dimensional plane and imagining how two-dimensional beings would interpret three-dimensional creature as it intercepted their second-dimensional flatland. Another great example is a horseshoe-shaped creature intersecting a one-dimensional plane. Imagine just a straight line where a one-dimensional creature bounces back and forth along that line. He's got a really lame, kind of boring existence. And then a horseshoe-shaped creature intersects. He's a two-dimensional creature. He has both length and height, we'll say, dimensional qualities to him. And as he intersects that one-dimensional plane, we see that the horseshoe shape intersects that one line in two places. How would the one-dimensional creature interpret that? Does he see two separate instances of something appearing before him? When we know that we can see from a three-dimensional perspective, this is a 2D creature that's shaped in such a way that he intersects that one line in two instances. So what are we dealing with? You know, are UFOs akin to something like that, where in a third-dimensional state of being like we are, something from another dimension literally could intercept our reality and appear as something maybe that is not exactly what it is. It's only how we are able to interpret it from our perspective. To illustrate this, there's that famous case of Dr. X, which I think was from Italy in the, I think it was the 1950s or 60s. The individual was apparently healed after he was kind of blasted by a ray of light. He was healed of a war injury when this beam of light blasted him from a flying saucer that appeared. But when he stepped out onto his balcony, responding to a light that he had seen through the blinds in the distance, he steps out on his balcony. He describes seeing two flying saucers, two disc-shaped craft hovering side by side, and they come together. They merge into one, and then they kind of come forward, and it tilts up on its axis and blasts him with this light and takes off. It's a very famous case, and there were photographs taken of these strange marks that appeared on the doctor's body in the aftermath of this sighting. He also suffered from a number of strange hallucinations where, you know, he was followed by government or maybe not government, but essentially the traditional MIB type characters who introduced him to alien beings and all these kinds of things. And he would have bouts of memory loss and all kinds of strange things that weren't entirely physical. But I thought that it was interesting that this report described how an alien craft literally appeared as two separate vehicles that merged together into one, and it reminded me very much of that idea of, you know, a one-dimensional creature meeting a single object on a two-dimensional from a two-dimensional plane and interpreting it as two things, two creatures maybe existing in two separate spaces, when in reality we know it's just one. Maybe a lot of the things that we observe UFO craft doing, the erratic behavior, the zigzagging, the tremendous travel of, you know, at tremendous speeds, blinking out and disappearing and then reappearing in the same spot, you know, minutes, if not, you know, hours later. All these sorts of strange things may be indicative of the way that UFOs behave as they are intercepting our reality, our third dimensional state of being. So I certainly think that, you know, it's hard for people to grasp that these things behave and act the way that they do, and the strange things and often almost nonsensical behavior attributed to flying saucers and the like. It could be very much indicative of something interdimensional like you'd propose.
And another thing that kind of springs to mind when you mention the Dr. X case, which I think Jacques Vallée did a very good job investigating that. I think I'm not sure which book it's in. It might be in Confrontations.
It was, yeah. Confrontations.
Or Dimensions, yeah. Another thing is that we do tend to kind of revert to primal images, and that's one of the things that spurred me on in my research with the Churchgoer phenomenon. Is I think human beings, when they're faced with something inexplicable that's totally out of their realm of understanding or even the realm of experience, we tend to revert to more primal symbols, and we tend to get archetypal in how we language these things. And the work of Terence McKenna, I think, should be noted here. He was someone that was very, very keen on how we language inexplicable experiences, whether induced by dimethyltryptamine or LSD or psilocybin or possibly ritual magic. These are all areas that are, I think, very important for our conversation here about your book. And I think that these primal images tend to color our languaging. And Terence McKenna, I think, has done a masterful job before he died, in looking at the importance of our languaging. Oftentimes, it's practically impossible to put into words these types of experiences. And being an investigator out in the field, from time to time, I would have a case where a person really was at a loss for words. And sometimes the types of descriptions that would come forth, even though they made sense to the person and they made sense in the conversation, they were nonsensical. And it's very difficult for someone who is, shall we say, a little bit more closed-minded or skeptical to look at this type of languaging and do anything but just, you know, just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, this person obviously has some issues here, and there's nothing to see here. Let's move along.
Right.
I think your book does a very good job of examining potential altered states of consciousness and how these, what the connecting points are between unusual experiences and induced states of consciousness. Do you want to address that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the book, as the title describes, Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule, it deals with three, approaches to the study of inducing altered states. You know, what maybe folk traditions and cultures, you know, especially archaic cultures, would have called magic. And, of course, that brings to mind that quote, from Arthur Clarke, that, you know, any significant, you know, significantly advanced technology to a lesser advanced civilization could be, perceived and viewed as magic. You know, that comes right back to what I was talking about UFOs a moment ago. So magic in that sense, you know, is how maybe archaic traditions and ancient cultures and even maybe some modern cultures, you know, that are, you know, more primitive in their approaches, shamanism and whatnot. But I kind of draw a distinction there because there's the magic, the mysticism, which is, you know, not just, you know, meditation and things like you'd, you know, study in the East, but even, you know, modern mysticism. I take a lot of, time to look at, 20th century Christian mysticism and how
that... all that stuff, 20th century Christian mysticism, Jewish mysticism, I'll have to ask you about that. More. Micah Hanks joins us. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in...
The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.